The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
On this Friday night, April the 8th, 2016, and it is time for Black Butter Love here at the Black Talk Radio Network. And the Lotus Place is brought to you by the Black Talk Radio Network, so please submit your donations to Black Talk Radio Network so that we can keep providing you with all of this information. I was listening to the brother prior to the start of our show, and he mentioned black reparations, establishing black businesses is equivalent to black reparations, equivalent to us having our quote-unquote reparations. I know Barack Obama was against reparations for black people, even though he's black, some kind of black. I don't even know what kind of black he is, but anyway, and Bernie Sanders has also come out and said that he's not for black reparations, even though it's fine for Jewish people to receive their reparations, Native Americans, and anybody else that's been wrong, except for black people. So I thought that was a really powerful statement, and regardless if you agree that we should or should not receive black reparations, I think the statement in and of itself is very powerful and something that we all should work towards establishing our own entities and businesses. Leave something for your children except for those damn bills and paying for the funeral. I mean, leave something. What are you leaving for your children? Leave a legacy. Establish something, or at least show them how to establish something, so that when you do pass on, there is something there for them, some type of blueprint, something that they can build upon. I think that's absolutely great. I know that there may be some parents that have home businesses or businesses, well-established businesses, and their children just may not want to follow the family business like Berry Gordy did with Motown. When I went to that Motown Museum in Detroit, it was just amazing learning all the different businesses that Berry Gordy's family had. I mean, they had the grocery store, and I think they had like about 8 different businesses, and they told their children, you're going to work in one of these businesses. You need to find something. They had a contracting business. I mean, they just had all kinds of things going on. So start something for your children. That's my thought and word for today. Leave something, leave a legacy. And we want you to call in and talk to us tonight. Black Butter Love, women who are strong, sexy, independent, and single. All of that strong and sexy and independent stuff got you single. Y'all was listening to Beyonce talking about all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. And she turned around and got married on y'all. So all of that single stuff, And even though I'm a woman, I'm a womanist and all of that, I am not a feminist. I do not get down with all of that, whatever feminist rhetoric the kind is talking about. I can do what a man can do and I don't need a man. None of that for me. None of that. Totally against that. For you that are like that, more power to you. More, if it works for you, great. I just don't think that works for me. I love black men. I love my brothers. And I feel like it's best for us to be together. I don't feel like I can live my life just going through my life without the company of a man, not saying that I have to, that I'm nothing without a man and I don't feel like a man completes me. I'm already complete. He just enhances my life. So that's just my thought. So we want to talk about women who are strong, sexy, independent, and single. Ladies, let's get information so you can build a black nation. And let's just break that down quickly. I just really been so on this Beyonce formation, primarily because it made white people mad. I mean, you know. But the get information, information, knowledge, get informed, get yourself together, get it together, let's get it together. People, black people said they were going to get it together when Barack came in office. Anyway, so it's time to get information. Are you so strong and independent that men actually run away from you? Are you that strong and independent that you actually run the men away? I mean, are you walking around thinking you're so strong that you're walking around with a penis? You think you wear the pants? You think you can wear the pants, bring home the bacon, and cook it? But you know what? That's going to leave you sad and lonely because I think to leave you sad and lonely because men want to be men. That's something that I have found. You have to allow men to be men. Let them be the head. Let them wear the pants. I don't even want to wear the pants. I like to wear my skirts and dresses. I like for a man to make decisions. Now, of course, I want him to respect my opinion like I would respect his, but I think that we can come together on household decisions. I'm not here to try to tell him what to do. I'm here to help him, just like he's here to help me and give me some guidance. And we give each other guidance. I heard this older lady say once before that a man is the head. He's the head. And we should allow him to be the head. But as women, as women, we are the neck, and the head can't move without the neck. So they work together. The head can't just sit there on the shoulder, be a little difficult. And the neck with no head is really difficult. So we have to work together. So we want to talk about black women walking around with penises, trying to be a man. And also, how do black men feel about the so-called strong and independent woman? And here's another topic. I do need to order this book because I've heard about this book. I heard about it years ago, and I never did purchase it. I'll go ahead on and put it on my Amazon list. Now, I accidentally subscribed to Amazon Prime, charged me $100, so I need to go ahead on and take advantage of that. This book, let's see, Black Women Pray, P-R-A-Y, in the church, and Black Men Pray, P-R-E-Y. So, we want to talk about is the black church keeping black women single? I know there's been a lot of discussion around this, articles written. I've been in some discussions about this. Is the black church keeping black women single? Are you having difficulty in your relationships because you're so caught up with church? In the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with being caught up with church because I think if that helps you, if that works for you, then that's what you need to do. But for those women that are so caught up, they're so in love with this picture of Jesus or so caught up in their church that they spend more time doing things for the church than they do at home. And that's problematic. So we want to have a little discussion on some of those topics. And we just want to hear from you also. let me share a clip and we can dig right on into our topic. Let's see some news for today. I want to share this quick little clip. Let me see. Where is that clip? All right. This is a clip on Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was confronted by some Black Lives Matter activists, and some people just basically are questioning him about his 1994 crime bill.
On Thursday, former President Bill Clinton stared down the protesters, angry at the impact his 1994 crime reforms have had on Black Americans, and defended the record of his wife, who is relying on the support of Black voters in her quest for the presidency. I don't know how you would characterize the gang leaders who got 13-year-old kids hopped on crack and sent them out on the streets to murder other African-American children, he said, shaking his finger at a heckler as Clinton supporters cheered, according to video of the event. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. She didn't. You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter, he told a protester. Tell the truth, he said. Hillary Clinton has won the support of the majority of Black voters in every state nominating contest so far, often by a landslide.
You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter. Tell the truth. You are defending the people who caused young people to go out and take guns. There was a 13-year-old girl in Washington, D.C. who was planning her own voting. How would you do it? Now, look at this other one. Look at this. That's not true.
I say hi. Did you love Bill Clinton when he came out and played that saxophone?
When he came where?
When he came out on Arsenio Hall's show to play the saxophone.
I I remember when he did that. I don't really have a love for him or anything. He was just another president to me.
Oh, I did, honey. I was like, whoa, you go. Oh, you go, white boy. Play that saxophone. He put those shades on, and it was just all the rave. Yeah. Me and my grandmother, she really loved Bill Clinton. Oh, my God. Just super crazy about Bill Clinton. But so he was speaking. I think he was opening up for Hillary, and some people started questioning him about the crime bill and all of that. And I was listening to some people talking about his response today. Some radio station. I was driving in the car, and they were talking about how Bill Clinton really wanted to come out with that crime bill, because I think, like you stated before, a couple of shows ago, there was so much going on in our communities. Although the dope had been pushed in our neighborhoods, and the guns dropped off here and there, and all of that stuff. There was just so much going on that people were crying out for some type of reform. And Republicans were pushing Bill Clinton, saying that he wasn't going to be tough on crime. And so this is one reason why he wanted to come out with such a tough crime bill. So that's that on that crime bill. And I know people are still attaching Hillary Clinton to the crime bill, and I'm not going to say if it's right or wrong, but I mean, it just is what it is, and you know, people have their opinions on that. But what are your thoughts?
In terms of the crime bill itself?
The crime bill and people confronting Bill Clinton about it.
Well, I'm probably pretty cynical about stuff, but see, this is not a Bill Clinton thing. This whole country is set up in systems that create problems and then go in to solve them like that. So I don't call it just a Clinton, this is a systems problem here in America. So I can't blame him or his wife. And I'm so, so sad to say that many of our black people are part of the problem. Our public, so I can't frame, I can't even frame it like that. For me, I just can't frame it like that.
That's a good point.
That's the way I've always seen it that way. These individuals come in, create these problems, and then they send in the black people. We're yelling in the community, what are you all going to do? Y'all are not taking care of our crime and our problems and our addiction. And you're just following. I mean, these people sit around, they sit up and plan this stuff 100 years out. It ain't about Bill Clinton. It's not about Hillary. It's about this awful system that's set up. And, you know, the structures that are there, it's just institutional racism, white supremacy, and all of those things that, to fight against us. And I'm going to give you a prime example.
Okay.
I was listening to today, and they were talking about how the last individual that was on trial for criminal charges against the big oil spill that was down your way, biggest one America ever had, and 11 people died in this explosion. Now, you're going to tell me nobody is a criminal. These people were negligent. Nobody, it's no crime been committed here. But then you take a look over there in Georgia, and you had this judge that sent several administrators to jail for cheating on some test or something in the state test. So you're going to tell me people's lives lost and all of this stuff that you'll never be able to clean up is far less of a problem than people cheating on a test for some children in the inner city, like you care about some inner city black children. Because if you did, situation wouldn't be like it is. You'd allow us to teach them. They fight for you to teach the children because they have a plan to take them just where they want to take them already in place, which is nowhere. And just from making money off of them in the penal system. So I can't even blame Bill and Hillary Clinton for that. I'm not saying, I mean, what are they going to do? One single-handedly do something different? No, they're part of the problem, too. If in fact they're doing all these things like people are saying. So anyway, that's just my take on it. I probably see it a lot different than most people.
Yeah, because I mean, we can also look at Obama, who signed I cannot think of the name of that bill right now, but for the
trade bill,
surplus weapons, but the surplus weapons to be used for local police department. So,
well, you look at even when he went into office, what was the first thing he did? We're going to have more community policemen, and he increased the police force across this nation. Look, did nobody say a peep? Black folk didn't say a peep. Nobody said a peep. I'm sitting up here looking like, why you need some more police? What y'all getting ready to do? Well, we know what they're getting ready to do because they're doing it now. That was a problem for me right there when he first, that was the first thing he did. Talking about some community policing. Yeah, you had some community policing, all right. Was he really that naive to think that it was going to be community policing rather than, you know, occupation in the black community? I don't know if I can give him that one or not. I don't know. He was raised way differently. Maybe he was that naive to think of that, but I sure didn't think of it when he did it. I'm thinking like, wow, what you doing that for? Yeah. They're not going to do anything but come in and abuse black people more.
That's it. And that's exactly what has happened. Why is that coming up like that? That's exactly what happened. Just more police and more killing, more shooting, more all of that. But we want more love. We want more love. We want black people to start loving themselves more doing first of all, themselves.
Yeah, that's the first person you got to love is you. You got self-hatred mm-hmm. going on. That's how you can do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Argue yourself. You couldn't allow the things to happen if you're in a powerful position if you loved yourself. Much love less loving yourself.
Mm-hmm. Love yourself.
Love all people the same way. You don't have to, be a humanitarian. Believe in human rights.
Yep.
And everybody has a human being. But they, find that same. See, I think that's one thing we just kind of have to quit talking about. We have a Congressional Black Caucus there.
True.
What's that? We're supposed to be representing us across the nation as a people. Doesn't happen anymore. It used to on some level.
Mm-hmm.
But things have changed.
Adam Clayton Powell's birthday was April the 4th, too. Martin Luther King's assassination day. And we know King B loves Adam Clayton Powell.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come on and give us a history lesson on Adam Clayton Powell. I think maybe he'll come on Sunday. So that would be great. Mm-hmm. Well, I am going to Mother Hattie. Let me see. I said, Hattie, I want to share a quick clip on, black women. And let me see. Oh, I hope I have that. Okay.
Well, if you don't, I would like to comment on your other pieces. Mm-hmm. About being a strong black woman.
Okay.
Yeah. While you find that, I do. Okay. I wanted to talk about that. And in terms of a feminist piece or not, I don't know what you call it. But, like many women, I thought, well, once you get married, you'll kind of see life a little bit differently. And then you weigh out what is the value of marriage as opposed to being a single person. And I think once you're married, you can kind of see, this is really great. Mm-hmm. Being married has some vantage point, and yet being single also has some vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
And so once a person has experienced that, I think they'd be more able to know what's suitable for them. And I don't think necessarily that everybody should be or want to be married. It's the same kind of thing as, does everybody need children? Some people just don't have it. They're just not mothers, or they're just not fathers. And
right.
So some people just shouldn't have children. And I think the same with marriage. Some people probably just maybe shouldn't be married, don't want to be married, and can live with that. There's
mm-hmm.
pros and cons in both situations. So I guess I don't see it as strongly as being a situation where, okay, you can blame somebody for your single state of misery. So in other words, some people are single and they're not miserable. And some people are willing to allow the man to be the man. And I'm just going to say from my personal experiences, I can say that marriage is great. It's wonderful. If you can find that person that you can respect and that person that respects you. And as Delta Cougar always says, you have to have that stability, economic stability. So if we want to talk about being married, there are roles that the woman has, there are roles that the man has. And when those roles are reversed or those roles are not necessarily kind of traditional, different kinds of things happen.
Yeah.
Product.
Well,
you found it.
I did. But I just want to make a comment on what you said. And there are some people that may say that, men and women in marriage shouldn't have those, say, gender roles. Like some men may not feel that they should cook, wash clothes, wash dishes, or do anything with the children. They may feel that their women shouldn't work. Maybe a woman wants to work. So I guess, in that situation, That's why you should take time. I think you should take time and ask these questions. Like Dr. Needle Fuller says, there's several questions that you need to ask someone when you're in a relationship with them before you guys take certain steps into sex, certain steps into marriage, moving a relationship.
Absolutely.
Forward, things like that. Yes, definitely. We do things so backwards. I see, and I used to do things backwards too. We do things so backwards sometimes. We just jump into these relationships without really getting to know a person. We don't even know ourselves sometimes. We're trying to bring all of this stuff.
And then people change. People change also. They change on you once you get married and you have that legal bind. It's like, oh, I didn't marry this person. Where did this person come from?
Who is this man sleeping next to me?
Yeah, what happened here?
Yeah, what happened? I didn't sign up for all of this. I mean, you know, like I've heard some, you know, women speak about how he changed on the honeymoon. I mean, during the honeymoon, started beating them during the honeymoon, completely changed when they came home from the wedding. There's all kinds of different stories, you know, or men,
I mean,
say, well, she did this, and she used to wear this when we were dating, and now she's wearing all this kind of stuff. She's wearing muumuus to bed around the house and rollers in her head all day long, you know. So, I want to play this quick little. This is a little kind of a funny clip on black men and women relationships. Let me see. This is it here.
Sisters, are you tired of being alone? Well, I am.
What are you talking about? I'm right here.
Where are all the good black men? I just can't find one.
What, am I invisible or something?
I got my BA from Spelman College and my JD MBA from Wharton. I'm a few jumping, Bible thumping, tambourine waving, non-fornicating Christian who believes in the Lord and follows everything in the Bible.
Oh. Nice. The Bible says wives submit to your husbands.
I believe everything in the Bible except that part. Anyway, like I was saying, I can't find any good black man.
What are you looking for?
I want a man who earns six figures.
That's me.
A man who has integrity, good character, good credit, and loves his mom.
And me. Hi, Mom.
A man who will pay all the bills, yet recognize I'm an independent woman.
What? How can you be independent when someone else pays all of your bills?
A man who can take charge, lead, and direct his household. At least until I disagree with his direction. Then he must turn over his balls and give them to me, because I'm a strong professional womanist. If he doesn't do this, I will take him for 25% of his gross income in my divorce settlement, and I will ruin his kids for life and forever turn them against him.
Oh. Okay.
A man who will make me laugh, who's a thug that can fit in with the boys in the boardroom. A man who can kick it in the neighborhood and on the golf course.
Holler if you hear me.
A man who can deal with all this energy and passion.
You mean attitude.
Don't go there. I have 911 on speed dial. I want someone who is supportive and not threatened by the fact that I have a career and am a strong independent woman. A man who knows I don't need a man and will open doors and pay for every dinner and date we go on.
Wow, that's confusing. Career-minded, strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man, but you expect to have your way through life, paid for by your man.
A man who won't bug me for sex more than 4 times a month, even though he does have 300 million new sperm pumping through his testicles on a daily basis. I only have one egg, and he better get used to being spayed and neutered during his prime and for the next 30 years of his life. In fact, he better not even so much as look at another woman below her eyebrows.
Okay.
He also has to know never to ask me to put my mouth down there.
Down where?
That nasty thing in your pants.
Nasty?
Yes. Also, he needs to be man enough to deal with a heavy woman, as I will probably have 20 pounds around my gut after 5 years of marriage.
Wow. Well, you drive a hard bargain. But, because I love you so much, I'm willing to make the sacrifice.
Nah. You're too weak. I need a man with the backbone who won't let me run all over him. Besides, you're not 6'5", and that's a deal breaker.
Boy, I need to listen to an episode of the Palazzo G's on PalazzoG.com or Blog Talk Radio every Sunday at 5 p.m. to get powered up again after this beatdown. They're all about empowering men to empower the family. sister. I think I will get me a pink toe.
I know. Black men can't handle a strong black woman. You're too sensitive.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Yes, so in that clip, she says she is independent, but she wants a man to pay the bills. And he responded with something about her attitude. You know, men always say, well, people always say that black women just have these little snappy, fiery attitudes. And she also mentioned she wants a man that's not threatened by her career. Now, I did experience the threatened by my career deal with a particular guy I was involved with, because I made more money than he did, and that was just like a big problem for him. Let's welcome in Delta Sousa. How are you, Delta?
Hello. How everybody doing?
Hey, Delta.
Hey, Mama Hattie. You sound a lot better today.
Yeah, that's
hey,
right.
Hey, Feather Love.
Oh, Feather's not on tonight with us. The Black Rose is here.
Oh, who all on with us tonight?
Good Black Rose.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You know, on my calendar.
They give me plenty of time to get my point of view out there, though.
Yeah. We're ready for your hot topics, but I just want to ask this really quick. Now, Icy, how did you have a birthday last week and we missed it?
No. Not me. Wasn't me.
Why does, you know, your birthday comes up on my phone like every 3 months. I have it like it seems like every 3 months. I'm like, wait a minute, is it Aisha's birthday? Did I miss her birthday? Oh, you know how nowadays the phone pops up with all this different stuff. I mean,
it has a virus on it. I do feel like I'm aging 4 times a year, so it's probably right, you know.
Yeah, me too. I've always felt like that. Yeah.
4 birthdays a year.
Yeah. 4 birthdays a year. Every quarter, huh? We have a birthday. What you have for us, Delta? You have some hot topics?
Yes. Girl, your town up in Memphis is really rocking and hot up there.
Oh, wow.
They have 2 women who've been having a prostitute reign in their community.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the two women, girl, if you pull them up, girl, they look like crackhead city. And I don't mean no disrespect. They look like old crackhead city.
Uh-oh.
And they had them a good business. They said they had a thriving business. They were selling that cooter for $20 and up. And they, listen, how old they
$20
are.
$20
a pop. And they had a thriving business, they say. They are 52 and 60.
Mm.
52 and 60.
Oh, that was good. They threw a whole bunch. They were real experienced, see? They knew some stuff that, you know, that, yeah. 50 and 60, I would imagine so. No wonder their business was growing so much.
But if you see them, I don't even see how in the world they even have a business at all. But I guess it's not how you look. I guess it's how you pop that willy.
That's right. That's right. It's performance. You know, everything now is paid for by performance. You know that? Paper performance.
Well, the people in the neighborhood said that they have saw all the business coming, but they didn't know what they was coming for. But they had them a very lucrative business, and somebody found out what they was doing and turned them in to the police.
Wow.
And then we have another sad case. Now, y'all don't like for me to talk about murder, but I got to tell y'all about this tonight. You know I ain't talked about one in a long, but I ain't talked about one in a long time. Please let me tell you about this one, because this is, to me, I think it's sad. This young, y'all in Atlanta.
It's so sad. Why do you want to mention it, though?
No, but what I mean is I can't believe another family member would do this. But they had their father, they had this, if you see their home, they had a big old beautiful home. Looked like they had over a 5,000 square feet home or more in Atlanta. It was a black family. And they had three kids of their own, and they had a stepdaughter. The lady had a stepdaughter that was 23. And the young lady did income tax. That was her business. She did income tax. She did her stepfather's income. And the stepfather was so upset with the young lady because, not because he wasn't getting no refund, hear me good. He was going to get a refund, but he felt like she didn't get him, get his, income in a timely manner, you know, like his income tax was late. He took a gun and killed his 23-year-old stepdaughter over his income tax being late. Now, listen, this is what I'm saying. Not that he wasn't going to get his income tax, but the idea that it was coming late. And it is so sad, but the manner of the story is he lost it all. Because the home they was in an upper class neighborhood, and they had a beautiful home. But see, this is what, let me tell y'all something. This is what's going on out in our radio listening audience. And we are about women's. We are Women's United. Imagine now, he killed his stepdaughter. Imagine what's going on in that home that their wife ain't telling nobody about. Because you get so angry over your income tax, ain't no telling what you and your wife getting into it about. And a lot of women stay in their home, stay in there in an abusive relationship in order to just to stay in the home. And so this man lost it all over a temple, just over a bad temple. Now he probably thinking and wish he could take it back, but you can't bring it back. Okay, and this is my last hot topic. I got plenty more if you want more. Then we have in my state in Mississippi, I got two coming from my state.
Okay.
We have a 14-year-old boy, and Miss Hattie, this your field. We have a 14-year-old, took a loaded handgun to school. And it is a black child. And you don't find black kids doing this. He took a loaded handgun. He had over 100 rounds of ammunition. And this is what's so scary, y'all. He had a black mask they pulled out of his book bag.
Had a what?
Like a black mask to hide his face. Like a ski mask.
Okay.
Why would you do this? I mean, this tells me that this child's intent was to go into school, disguise himself, and kill up a bunch of people because he had two clips of ammunition. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
That is so dangerous. So now they're trying to get, the people are saying, okay, we need to get metal detectors. And that's what people just made up there about.
Where?
Like for the kids to go into school so they can pass through there.
They already have those.
We don't have not a school here on the coast have that.
Really?
Yeah. We don't have that. Because really and we never had no. But see, really we never had no incidents here.
Hmm.
None whatsoever.
In fact, the clip I played Wednesday, it spoke about the children talking about how they have to go through the metal detectors. And so you're saying that in Mississippi, there are no metal detectors in the school?
No, we don't have that.
Okay, yeah, because a lot of schools around the country, they have metal detectors. I mean,
children. But you know what? We're a southern state, and I must say, we never had this problem. And I got to say, we never had a problem. But now they people are saying we got to do something because this boy came in with 100 rounds of ammunition. Another school student accidentally saw the gun and went and told the principal. And they immediately called in the security police that's all went on campus. And they called in other police, but imagine if that other child hadn't saw that gun. 100 rounds of ammunition. He's 14 years old. Now, I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. I think he need to go to jail, and he need to go there a long time, and he need to think about what he have done.
I'll say I feel sorry for him because there's something going on mentally and emotionally for him to want to bring 100 rounds of ammunition into the school. So it's something going on in the home or in his life. I feel sorry for him in that respect, but no, he should not be bringing any guns and all that into the school. From our educational professional. Education professional, what do you think, Icy Hot?
Well, I think this is a serious thing, and that just like when the little other boys do it, they must be mentally ill in some kind of way to want to do something so horrible.
And they need to give them a psych exam and get them some. And get them some mental health treatment.
Definitely.
Something's wrong with somebody who wants to do these harmful things to people. And as my dear friend always says, this is a violent world that we live in. When people experience so much violence and they see so much violence everywhere, what are our expectations of them?
That's right.
Suffering that people go through is unbelievable. And I'm saying this because, I mean, I look at what's happened with my little boys from kindergarten to first grade and second and third grade. And little black boys have a rough time in this country.
Yes, they do.
They really do. And I don't care if they have teachers that are white, are teachers that are black, because there's hardly any black teachers left around here, even in the black communities.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a
black man teachers either.
Right, even that, even the gender piece is so unbalanced now. No telling how and what children are going through in their head. So that's kind of my first thought about a child that is getting ready to do something like that. Thank God that someone alerted them, and yes, he was getting ready to do something that was terrible, I'm sure, as well. But, who knows? So that's my thoughts on it. Psych exam.
Okay. Absolutely.
And I don't think the penitentiary, how old was he again? What grade?
He was 8th grade.
Oh, yeah.
14 years old.
I don't think he should go to prison. I think he should go to therapy and counseling. If something going on in the home, I hate to say it, he may need to be removed from the home.
I wouldn't even think it's a home necessarily. I think it's something going on in society.
Yeah.
Look here.
Yeah, the bigger
look
picture
here.
Society. You're right.
Look at these children. What are they seeing? People getting shot down, Trayvon, young men. They're afraid. They're fighting. They're, you know, and it's coming out in
survival mode.
They're in survival mode. It's coming out in a way that is really difficult probably for anybody to understand. I just cannot imagine living from the time you're a little child. I don't say it's something in the home. I think it's society is showing them some stuff, and they're processing it in a way that's really difficult for them. That's what I think's wrong with the children that would do something, you know, in that manner.
And see, that's what I mentioned when I talk about, like, all the gun violence in these shows. I remember when that Kill Bill show came out. I was like, it is so much killing in here. This is ridiculous. I think I watched, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of that, and I couldn't watch it anymore. So, I mean, that's something I just cannot stand to watch, a lot of shooting and killing and all of that stuff in films. I don't like it.
It starts very early. It starts very early, even in the cartoons now. The physical stuff. You don't see anything unless you really search hard and high and low to have your children look at the things that they should be looking at. That, you know, treat each other with kindness. Even though they try to tell these children, no physical, be kind, be peaceful, but most of them being fed something else on the TV or in their community or through the news media. And things are really not like the way they're portrayed as being. So why can't the news media talk to them about some of the children that are successful, that are entrepreneurs, that are black? But they're constantly getting flashes of these violent black children. They probably think that's what I'm supposed to be like, or else I'm going to be killed. It's like, kill or be killed mode. Anyway, that's my thing on it.
Yeah, certainly. Good observation.
So one little old child in that middle school who's being bullied.
Yeah,
either they roll up and commit. Yeah, maybe they roll up and commit suicide, or they go into another mode of self-defense. See, nobody talks about the suicide. The flip side of it is what you're talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you, he's probably been bullied. I don't think it's not necessarily in the home. People give up on trying to even deal with that stuff sometimes.
Mhm. Absolutely.
No,
right,
that's just.
We have another hot topic for us, and then we'll move on into our topic for tonight. Delta, do you have another hot topic for us?
Yeah. I had my phone on mute because I was trying. I'm sorry. I was trying to be quiet. Okay, we have another hot topic from Mississippi. And the other hot topic is, now y'all know they just passed this law in my state. They passed a law, if you gay, you can, if you go to a bakery, and if the bakery don't want to bake you a cake, they don't have to. That's
so it's
the
religious freedom law. It's the religious freedom law, right?
That is correct. But what I'm trying to say is, they've been making a lot of films here in Mississippi on the coast. Now the film industry pulled out. They said they will not be making any more films here. And also, I want to know, okay, Robin on Good Morning America, she is from Pass Christi Ann, Mississippi. And Pass Christi Ann, it's about Oh, I say about 40 minutes from where I live. I'm wondering why Robin hadn't come out and said anything about this law, because she's from Mississippi. So now you got all these corporations. We have several major corporations pulled out and said they will not come and do business here. Okay, then we just had a, they were finna open up a big major, it's sort of like a shipyard over in Gulfport, Mississippi, and they was gonna start off with 400 jobs, and it was gonna be raised up. But they were getting ready to sign their last piece of paperwork to close out the deal. But when they found out that Mississippi passed that law, they backed out of the deal. They will not bring their company here to Mississippi. So you got a lot of people are pulling out about that. So now I'm this way. I don't agree with that gay stuff, and I'm just being honest. I don't agree with it. But I'm this way. If I'm in a business and you want me to bake you a cake or whatever, I'll bake you that cake. But I'll secretly pray over it and tell God to remove that spirit out of you. But I wouldn't, no, I'm just being honest. You know, I want to be honest to our listeners. I wouldn't refuse their service. I will secretly pray over it and tell God to move that spirit that's inside of them out. And so, but a lot of people, what they saying is, if you, Mississippi is so bitter and racist, if you start the discrimination against that, after a while, it's going to be something else. And
well,
my governor,
that's what people are saying. It could morph into discriminating against, say, my religious freedom or my freedom of conscience tells me I don't want to serve black people. So
that is,
I mean,
correct.
I don't think that, I don't think that they should be discriminating against people because they choose whatever they choose to do in their bedrooms, their sexual escapades or what have you. I don't think that's anybody's business. That's not harming me. It's not taking any money out of my pocket. So, and my grandmother says the same thing, similar to what you say, Delta. We talked about this years ago. And my grandmother's very conservative. And even she said years ago, that don't have anything to do with me. What somebody doing in their bedroom, I'm not going to go out and protest against it, and I'm not going to go out and protest for it. That's what she said. So it just doesn't affect me. So why would I even want to enact any kind of laws or any discrimination against those people? So, and your governor's name is Governor Phil Bryant, and a lot of other states have said
He is a redneck. He just passed signed another law, and we're gonna get right on in our program. I'm sorry, but I want to tell y'all about this other law. He passed another law this Confederate Day of the Confederate flag. The governor.
Now say that again. Now what? So what is gonna be a certain day with the state of Mississippi?
Okay, y'all help me with my speech. You know I get a little tight tongued. Okay, you know the red flag, the rebel flag.
Mm-hmm.
My governor signed a law last month, and he signed in this law that they're gonna celebrate Confederate Day. And they're going to celebrate that flag.
Mm-hmm.
My governor signed a certain day that into law every year that they're going to come up and they're going to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, my thoughts on that is that's fine, because guess what? He's the governor. You can pass those kinds of laws. And I would just say to black people, well, you can just take Martin Luther King Day or any other day, Malcolm X birthday, any day, Marcus Garvey's birthday, Asada Shakur, anybody's birthday or any day, and say, okay, we're all going to take off work, those who can take off work or whatever, and you fly your red, black, and green flag. Simple as that. Bam, boom, bada, bada, bang. Whatever. Fly your rebel flag, and we're going to fly our red, black, and green flag. I'm not going to argue with these people anymore about what they want to do. Since you feel like people have the right to do what they want to do, which they do, then black people just do what you need to do. They want to fly a rebel flag? Fly your rebel flag. You can go fly your American flag. Go fly your red, black, and green flag. You can go fly your Zimbabwe flag. Fly the flag of a black country, an African country. Go do that. So let them fly their flag. Let them fly. Fly it high. They've been flying them. They never stopped. So go ahead. Fly. Pull your flag out. Those are my thoughts on that one.
Well, that's all the hot topics for today.
Oh, blind Dale Combo. Thank you for those hot topics. So we want people to call in to 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And tonight is our Black Butter Love Show, and we are talking about women who are strong, sexy, independent, and single. Ladies, get information so you can build a black nation. Get you a man. Let a man get you. Y'all have some babies. I know Delta don't want too many people having babies. But I'm speaking about in terms of if you're married, build a family. We have women that, some women that, they want to wear the pants in the family. They want to control men to an extent where a man is emasculated. He can't say anything, can't do anything, can't make any decisions, can't do a thing because the woman's doing everything. And some would say that could put stress and strain on a relationship. I don't know. Some men may like it. Some men may want a strong woman telling them what to do.
Those seem to be the marriages that work. They stay together a long time, and where the woman just take control and do the leadership and be mean to him. The little nice ladies like me, we kind of have a hard time. They want to walk the dog on you and cheat on you, go sleep around with other folks on you. I'm just telling you.
They want to be a rolling stone, huh? So maybe some of these women do need to have, keep the man on a short leash. Maybe so.
Well, that's all I'm saying is that those seem to be the women that men kind of can relate to. I mean, I am not saying all of them, please. All men don't like no mean, wicked women, but I've seen quite a few. And the women that are nice kind of don't say anything, want them to, just kind of, they kind of just don't, want to treat them nice. And then when that woman, they think she's nice and docile, but she's going to let them just do anything. And then when she doesn't, and she gets tired of it, then she just kind of leaves. That's kind of what I've seen. And
I totally can relate to that because when I used to be like just super, 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 super nice, and even now I'm still like very nice, very trusting of men. And then I find that they'll try to play me to the left with some old silly stuff. And then I flip the script and then I come out the box all crazy and all of this and this. And I start going off, cursing them out. And I mean, just rear up. Act a fool, and guess what happened? Oh my God, they straighten up, and then they just the best thing in the world. It's so
amazing. Isn't that weird to you? Isn't that strange?
It's crazy.
I
have friends that have witnessed this. I mean, a man could be just acting a fool with me, and then let me just turn around, hang up the phone on him, go off cursing out, call him stupid, blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God, I get flowers delivered. They call in. They want to take me out,
do all of this stuff that they weren't doing before. I went off and cursed you out. Why? Why I gotta curse you out for you to act right? That don't even make any sense. What's that all about?
I'll tell you what I think it's about. I think it's about, it goes back to slavery, the indoctrination, and how the black man and some of that stuff is still, you know, showing itself in this family circle that we have, and, you know, being bred as cattle and animals like that. And I think it really has impacted men a lot more than we would like to even think about.
Yes.
And women.
So let's come back with that. Let's take a quick break and let's come back and we'll jump more into this dysfunction with these relationships. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
So, Delta, what do you think? What do you think about that? That whole scenario of when women are nice to men, well, sometimes with some men, then they seem to want to treat them like a doormat. Come on off the mute,
always
Delta.
Say this. I always say they don't want a good woman. They want that whore, that slutty woman. And it's just something about a slutty woman. The slutty woman, I don't know, it just brings out a kinky side of them that they can't really pull out around that nice woman. And they don't know, they don't appreciate it. They want two different sides. They want the good girl to take mm-hmm. home to mama, but they want the kinky one. Because she does everything. Because I know a situation right now. They separated because someone talked to me the other day and got some advice from me. They separated back here about 6 years ago, and they separated. And he married this girl, and everybody told him not to do it. They said, "Don't marry her because she liked drug dealers and she liked the fast life." Okay, so they separated.
Spectrum.
Girl went on to marry somebody else. So now he tells me the other day that he can't get her out of his head. He's still in love with her. He's still in love with her. So I asked him, I said, "Well, what are you going to do about the other girl?" He says, I said, "The other girl is a real good girl, bad girl." He said, "But the slut is the one that he wants." He said, "I love her. I can't get her out of my mind." And so that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I guess they do that kinky stuff to them, and I guess it's wild. It's exciting. They don't know what they're going to do next. And men's like that. Men's like that kinky stuff.
And I don't think it's just the kinky stuff. I think it's also the emotional stuff. I think it's an emotional thing. They'll take it back to being bred like animals.
Interesting.
Go ahead,
because I'm going to play it.
No, what I was going to say, but if you look back, mostly all men, just about black or white, they still like them slutty women, no matter what.
I don't think most of them like them. I think they'll do that.
The majority of them.
But they ain't going to marry them. Not most of them. Some will, but not most. I mean, they could, but I don't think most of them will. But they'll do stuff with them. and cause all the drama in their home with the little white on the pedestal.
I think men and women, they just like someone that they're sexually compatible with, and maybe sometimes they just may not find everything in one person. They may
That's
have,
probably true, too.
Yeah, they may have that woman that, you know, I don't know, kind of, I don't want to say approved, but kind of conservative and maybe church going, kind of quiet, you know, school teacher like maybe. And then they
those are the hottest ones.
You know what? You're right about that. Those are the hottest ones. Sleeping with the children and having side jobs as strippers. And, you know, it's a shame nowadays teachers got to have side jobs as strippers and carrying on, you know, but,
And then you got so many teachers, they really hot in their behind because they'll turn like cougars because you got a lot of the teachers are going with the young boys. And one lady said that she loved the excitement. She loved what they can do for her. She said they turned her on. They know how to rock her world.
Well, that's pedophilia. If she's a teacher and she's with a student in school, you know, high school, elementary school, they're underage and she's messing with a child.
Well, even if they're not underage, that's still not an ethical thing to do if they're your students, even if you're a college student. It's not ethical. You have a certain rule over. You don't do that. I mean, even if it's in the workplace, if you're the boss, not ethical. Even they do it after they get to be a certain age. So, hey, don't call on me. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay. And we're also talking about the black church, too. Is the black church keeping women single? Is the black church keeping women single? I have a few clips I want to share. And, Delph, you have a comment, and then we're going to take a caller, and we'll go into a clip.
No, I want to dig right into the church when you get through.
Okay, all right.
And then we can take that caller or whatever, however you want to do it.
Okay. Let's take our caller. Hey, Mr. Sheriff, how are you doing? Caller 804?
Hello?
Hey, how are you?
Wonderful.
Good.
I would like to think that a great deal of this stems from what we used to say when we were coming up as children. I want a girl just like the girl who married dear old dad. I think if a lot of men, especially black men, if we could relate to the type of mother that we had. I know I was telling my grandchildren who were just getting ready to go to their first prom, I was telling them that the prom is more than just a date and time of you breaking your virginity. That you tell this little girl that it's more than this to you. The family that you came from is to respect young ladies. Your prom is something for you to remember the rest of your life. And if we don't get the foundation taught in early times, then we are lost. There was a time when we had BTU in church that we used to teach, tell the young girls, keep the dress down and the drawers up. But we don't teach that anymore. The church, the home, and the community is the time and place for everything. And we have forgotten that. So we are just letting the world rear our children. Thank you.
I agree with you on that. A lot of parents, I know I've had some friends, they used to use BET as a babysitter.
Right.
BET television, the television station. That was the babysitter. And I was just amazed and shocked and horrified that was the babysitter, literally. Sit your butt down right there in front of BET and watch these videos. And then we wonder why the children are the way that they are now, because the children that we see now are those children that I used to see when I was sitting over my friend's house, and they have BET in front of the children. And so we wonder why these children running around want to bring ammunition to school or don't want to keep their dresses down, like you said. I mean, that's what they saw on BET. That's what they saw in the video. So that's what they grew up thinking life was like, especially when you didn't tell them anything different.
Well, the problem come in at, too, a lot of the kids today is being raised by a different set of parents and a different set of rules, because the young folks today, they don't see life the way we see it. They don't see values the way we see it. And see, and it all go back to a lot of times, and I gotta go back to the TV. And you see a lot of this called love and hip hop. My granddaughter was saying the other day that she watched Love and Hip Hop. And I said, you do? I said, that ain't nothing but trash. I don't believe in that Love and Hip Hop and all these old shows, and especially that one called Empire, all this different stuff. I don't believe in all that. Kids, young children do not have no business watching stuff like that. And a lot of times the kids are just watching whatever, and people don't care anymore. You can't let nobody watch any and everything. You can't let nobody see you do any and everything. And the problem I'm coming in now, nobody have, the young folks today have no self-respect. Anything goes. And they don't care. And then I can give you a perfect example about something just happened, and I know personally just happened. And we're talking about women. Well, this man was living with, he's 31. He was living with another woman for 7 months. And he had a girlfriend. He quit the girlfriend and go move in with another woman for 7 months. Then he turned around and the girl that was 7 months put him out. He turns right back around and go move back in with the other girl. Now the other girl been with somebody else for the last 7 months, but the girl lets him come right on back. And then on top of that, he have 5 sons. So you teaching your son that I can treat a woman any kind of way and I'll accept it. And this is the problem today. People don't care. People don't care. They don't, people used to wouldn't cuss in front of, young folks, wouldn't even cuss in front of the elderly people. You had men wouldn't even cuss in front of women. You had men wouldn't even say in and everything in front of a woman. But now they don't care. Anything goes. Anything goes. And a lot of women are selling for anything. They're selling for anything just to say, I got a man.
That's right.
And so they'll take anything. They'll take a man and he ain't even working just to say, I got a penis. But no, just to say, I got a penis between my legs and making me feel good. They satisfied with that.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look around and see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It sounds horrible. It sounds coney. But if you look around, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do see it. So I can relate. There are some women, they just want a man. Carla, do you see that in a lot of the younger people today, that they just will accept anything? They don't really have like a high standard, or what we would call a high standard in terms of selecting a mate, men or women.
When you say young people, what age group are you referring to?
I guess I'll say under 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
30 and under, 35 and under.
Is our male caller still on?
Yes.
What do you think about the young women and men? What do you think? What is your take on it?
Well, some women want a man so bad that they will accept anything. I can't understand, and I work in penal institutions. A lot of young women have asked me that, send me the pictures of some guys so I can communicate with them. Some guys doing 5, 10, 15 years. What can they have in common? Some women just want to feel that they are not complete unless they can relate or talk about having a man. Any kind of man is better than no man at all.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And they mean any kind, too. They'll take one even when they know they're bisexual. They'll take them.
My God. Yeah, I'm laughing because it is. It's sad, but it is true. Yes, there are some women that will take a bisexual man. They know he's sleeping with men. And they will deny it. Some of them will deny it. And their friends telling them, girl, he is gay.
And then you got some people will say, oh, girl, because look, I had, I got to be honest. I'm telling the truth. I just have to be. Oh, look, Robin Robbins. I don't mean to jump out, y'all. Robin Robbins finally spoke out. That's what I was just telling y'all tonight. Robin Robbins, they just had breaking news. Robin Robbins just spoke out about that equality. Now they'll get something done from her. But anyway, let me go back to this. The young man, the young man that I'm going to tell you about, I know him personally. He tells me, I said, boy, you don't need that girl by this, by this. And I said, this girl like women. My son tells me, now this is my son. I say, this girl like women, boy, you don't need. My son tell me, more the merrier.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. That if she brought another woman in, so be it.
He'll
be happy with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for men,
see, that's what I'm saying. The young folks think different from we do. They don't think the way we think.
I wouldn't even say now on that one. I wouldn't even say it's just the young folks. I would say it's quite a few men that they don't mind them women, that they're women liking other women because that's what they feel like. Well, maybe she'll bring that other woman in the bedroom. I want to play this clip right here on, I think that this is from a couple and they actually produce a series of videos trying to help people with their marriage. Let's see. And they're talking about women today ain't like the women it used to be.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to Ask to My Eyes, where today I'm going to challenge y'all to stop playing and start pushing. I'm not going to put any disclaimers on this video because what I'm sharing with y'all, y'all need to hear. Now, yesterday, Iyana and I, we did a post talking about what men really want from black women. And a couple of things that we mentioned were men want respect, men want compassion, and men also want to lead their women. You know, today I want to talk to the black men because we really need to get real and have some, you know, true, authentic dialogue about black women. You know, we hear the statement all the time that black women today ain't got nothing on black women yesterday. Now, a lot of times it's a man that's saying that. Let me ask you this question. How can you really make that statement when, number one, you don't fully understand the black woman today and you ain't got no damn idea what was going on through the mind of the black woman yesterday? I mean, let's be real here. Let's be frank. You know, we're used to seeing images of black women from yesterday who pretty much were second tier, second rate, listen to the man, didn't have a voice. So that's what we're used to seeing. And so that expectation or that reality that we saw has been superimposed on the woman today, and then it becomes an expectation of today's woman. But what about the voice of the woman from yesterday? How can you say you knew her when you didn't listen to her? You might say something along the lines of, I mean, women knew what their roles were. They knew what their positions were, and they were happy to fulfill those roles. How in the hell do you know that? How do you know that they were happy? Have you talked to any of them? My wife and I, we've taught numerous marriage education classes where we've had individuals as well as couples that were older than us, much older than us, around about our parents' age. And they would come into the classes and they would be talking about how there's some issues in a relationship revolving around the woman not being able to voice her opinion. The woman having this desire to step out and do what it is that she feels like her purpose in life is. Again, we've seen this situation occur over and over and over again, where the woman from yesterday suppressed her voice, suppressed her appetite for life. Just because she suppressed her voice or her appetite, it does not mean that she didn't have an appetite. When we're talking about trying to develop healthy relationships, it's important that a relationship is comprised of two people. One person can't be happy and the other person unhappy if you want that relationship to be healthy. So if the man is happy, if the man is getting his way, if the man is doing what he wants to do, what about the woman? What about the woman? The woman too has desires. The woman too has goals. The woman too has ambitions. And if you decide to overlook or ignore whatever it is that she's desiring to do, I'm pretty sure that you're going to be dealing with an unhappy person. And if you're dealing with an unhappy person, you're in an unhealthy relationship. So let's be clear about that. Unfortunately, a lot of times we fall victim to religious indoctrination that informs us that the man needs to be above the woman. The woman needs to be below the man. Because we live in a patriarchal society, we say that it's our desires as men that come first. I mean, what sense does that really make? I mean, do you really think that the desire of a man should come before the desire of a woman? I mean, really, if you really have honest dialogue about the man coming first, I'm pretty sure we'll come to the realization that the woman didn't decide the man should come first. A man decided that the man should come first. Come on, y'all. Let's think a little bit. A man says that a man should come first. How about if you want to be in a healthy relationship, both the man and the woman decide what comes first to make the relationship healthy, to make the best decision for the relationship, for the family. I mean, this whole situation that we got here where, you know, men think that women should, you know, be like their mamas or their grandmothers and, you know, do what it is that they say. I mean, fellas, let's get real. I mean, let's have some real talking. Your woman got a voice. Your woman has a mind. Are men smarter than women? Are women dumber than men? Again, let's have some real talk. So I think that we just need to be honest about a couple of things. And you know, just understand that to make the statement that women today are not like women yesterday, we're really not accurately making that statement because we have no damn idea how women were and what they felt, what they thought, what they wanted in life yesterday, because we ain't talking to them. We ain't talked to them because all we were concerned about is what we thought, what we wanted, what we felt. We ain't care about them. And that's a problem. Because if you're just focused on what it is that you want in a relationship, because you think you know what's best for the relationship, you're dismissing one part of the relationship. You're dismissing another half of the relationship. I just think that we got to get real about, you know, understanding women today. And in order for us to have healthy, productive, and lasting relationships, which we seem to have a problem doing nowadays, we got to better understand who we are and better understand who women are. It's a better understanding.
I've never really spoken on this topic, and I may ruffle a few feathers, but this is what I see. What prompted me to make this video is the fact that earlier today I heard a 14-year-old child say, with attitude, that she was a strong, independent Black woman. We have been duped. We have been bamboozled by society, by scare tactics, by conditioning of the media, and by ourselves. Most young African-American women of today have been raised to be strong Black women, independent, self-sufficient, and tough. Some of us even describe ourselves as strong, independent Black women, and it is something that most of us have been taught that we must aspire to. And if we don't see ourselves in this way, we are considered to be doormats or weak. When the vast majority of young Black women of today describe themselves as strong and independent, it has nothing to do with the fact that Harriet Tubman led the slaves through the Underground Railroad. It's not due to inspiration from African women who were warriors in ancient times. It has nothing to do with being the mothers of civilization or the backbone of the community. In speaking with several young women recently who consider themselves strong and independent Black women, I asked them to describe what that means to them. And what they said it means is that I make my own money. I can pay my own bills. I can raise my kids by myself. I can defend myself, and I don't need no man. That is the consensus of what they answered. They mean that they are able to take care of themselves and their children, as well they should be able to as adults. But they also seem to mean that they are like men or can replace men. And sometimes we do have to assume the role of a man because they're simply not there. But we can't be men. They seem to believe that as Black women, they are supposed to put up with abuse, overwork, exploitation, underappreciation, cruelty, and just plain bullcrap, and endure it, and then wear that burden as some sort of badge of honor. As a result, they make reckless choices. They feel like they must always be in fighting back mode, wearing defensive armor, and putting up this peacock defense all the time. Hence, the attitude. Unfortunately, this thought process leads to detrimental behavior and lifestyles, as well as bitterness and loneliness. The mistake that many people make based on this image of the strong, independent Black woman is that they believe that Black women don't suffer emotionally as much as the other non-Black population of women because we are thought of as being strong and thus better able to endure emotional pain, disappointment, hatred, rejection, and put down. And that assumption is wrong. And the seemingly constant stank attitude that a lot of Black women have is a result of this perceived endurance. See, a lot of us have been taught that we have to be aggressive and assertive to make it in this world. We have to display brute force, hence the strong part of the title. We have to have this perpetual chip on our shoulders and dare anybody to knock it off. We can't let nobody step all over us. Being loud, bossy, and belligerent indicates our level of empowerment. The louder and more belligerent we are, the more we will be appreciated and recognized for our strength. In trying to live up to this image, the stereotype of that image becomes a reality. There is much criticism attached to this strong, independent Black woman title, although a lot of women think that the title brings respect and admiration. And at one time, it actually did. But the definition of that title has morphed from something positive into something negative. A lot of Black women have been bamboozled into believing that they have to live up to or claim this title in order to be accepted and taken seriously, mostly by other Black women, that by saying I'm a strong, independent Black woman, it automatically puts you in some elite status when it actually does the exact opposite. Like I said, the thing that made me make this video is hearing that child say that she was a strong, independent Black woman. How in the hell is a child a strong, independent Black woman? It's like any and everybody is running around claiming to be strong and independent no matter what their status is. And it makes the whole thing pretty silly when you have women who are not taking care of a damn thing on welfare, crackheads, just anybody, even kids running around screaming that they are strong, independent Black women. It's a joke and a mockery. Another thing is that a lot of Black women have had it pounded into their heads that Black men ain't nothing no matter what. And so therefore, they themselves must replace the Black man in all areas or become the man. They must handle it all on their own or at least maintain some grip of control on all aspects of whatever is going on because he can't be trusted to do it. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing anyway, so they have to supervise and be the one in control. The strong, independent type of woman will usually in her younger years choose to be with a Ray Ray from up the street type of guy who is not on her perceived financial or intellectual level. She will possibly get pregnant by this guy. And then when she gets older, she will go and try to get a guy who is on her perceived level. At this point, she might have children or whatever. And then go and complain about not being able to find a man on her level. At this point, those guys are not checking for her. And so once they start to realize that the choices in men that they once had are no longer available, that's when you have your ABC News specials and all your complaints and talk shows and everything. And then eventually the defense mechanism will lead to the standard statement, which is, I don't need no black man. But in actuality, what we don't need is to waste our younger years chasing after the same quote unquote no good guys that we complain about all the time, that we've been hearing complaints about, most of us, all of our lives. And the guys that we know who are going to obviously treat us like dirt, obviously aren't doing anything with their life based strictly on our emotions or on their so-called swag or whatever. And then we turn around and blame every black man that exists for that fool's behavior. We can't keep having baby after baby out of wedlock with men who we know, based on their track record, are not going to take care of that child or be there for that child in any way. And then turn around and judge all black men based on those fools. The bottom line is, if you don't need no black man, then there shouldn't be all these black babies that were born out of wedlock running around. Period. I hate the stigma that is attached to black women right now, and it's mainly black women who perpetuate the image of us that creates that stigma with this strong, independent black woman mess. One reason is that it diminishes our accomplishments. It taints our reputation as a whole. We are known for being belligerent, combative, bossy, controlling, and attitudinal, whether we are like that or not, and it is attached to that title. It has become an expectation for all black women to be this strong, independent black woman, to be manly. And a lot of black women are treated that way or are lumped into that category in certain situations, whether they are like that or not. That title has become a new negative stereotype for black women and a modern day slur, similar in context to hood rat or the N-word. Yeah, that's right. And if you haven't heard or seen a strong independent black woman joke yet, and strong, S-C-R-O-N-G, trust me, you will. Okay? I'm not saying that any human being should grovel behind or buckle under another human being, and I am not advising anybody on how to conduct their personal relationships. But to say that you are independent and you don't need nobody at all, that's a fallacy. No one is completely autonomous. So the whole independent description is false. Yes, a black woman's burden is often heavier than that of anyone else, which is exactly why we have no need to try to be so independent. And to be real, the word independent as used in that title means I don't need no man, because sisters stick together like glue and we do need and rely on each other. Some women have taken on a harsh and overbearing demeanor or the characteristics of a man in order to prove that she doesn't need one. And I'm not even sure if that exterior reflects what's really inside of those women, because even when talking to the harshest and most bitter of black women, most of them signify that they would like to be in a relationship with a man. But not many men are going to deal with that type of personality. This strong, independent black woman title actually gives people the impression that they can walk all over us, burden us, treat us like dirt, put us down, and still we rise, because we are constantly making it seem like we can take anything. I'm not saying that any woman should be weak or a doormat, but we don't have to live up to this ridiculous, neck-rolling, finger-snapping, belligerent, manly image. We can be resilient and strong, solid. We can have careers and excel in those careers, have an education, and take care of business, and still be feminine, loving, nurturing, provide comfort, peace of mind, and have confidence in ourselves and in our mate without trying to be like a man. What is the purpose or the reward of belligerence and jumping bad in a man's face? Why desire to be a man or be like a man? Why desire to be autonomous? People need people. Why is independence in that manner a goal? I don't desire any of that. I don't want to do it all on my own. Does that make me a doormat? No, it does not. I don't understand the desire to have a chaotic, drama-filled life of conflict and anger. Some black women actually prefer not to have the title of strong, independent Black woman and all the perceived attributes that go along with it put on us based on the image that women who scream that mantra project. Okay? Why not just let your life speak for itself? A true, strong Black woman understands that she needs other people and she chooses her mate wisely. She does not have to endure a bunch of BS and put herself in dangerous and detrimental situations to prove that she is strong. But if she finds herself in those situations, she knows to get out, and she is resilient. She doesn't have to be loud, pushy, or in control of everything, nor does she need to try to prevent a man from being a man in order to prove her strength. She displays an aura of experience, wisdom, grace, femininity, resilience, and quiet power. And by quiet power, I don't mean bowing down and keeping your mouth shut.
So,
I mean, you command respect, therefore you never have to demand it.
Woman,
if you're capable of taking care of your business and taking care of your children or whatever, you don't have to announce it or act it out. It just is what it is.
You. So, should women abandon that thinking of, I'm a strong Black woman. I can do it by myself. I can do it myself. I don't need a man. Or does that work for you? Do you feel like you need to be like that? Maybe some women feel like that because they feel like men are not strong enough to, men are not playing the male role. Is that the reason why some women are taking on that attitude?
You know, traditionally.
What do you think, Delta?
Well, me personally, I think
any thoughts on the clip?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Okay. Well, I'm going to move right on into this next one on the Black Church. And this video actually comes from a particular book a woman has written. Okay, so I think we have. So you're back with us, right?
No, I haven't been gone. I was talking. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me? I hear Dorothy.
Can you hear anybody?
Can you hear me? She can't.
Okay, so we're going to move on to this next clip. Does the Black Church keep Black women single? I personally think that you can find a mate in church. I really do. I know some people have had some success stories. So I wouldn't necessarily say that the Black Church is keeping Black women single. But
hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from YourBlackWorld.com, and I wanted to talk about something that a lot of you have probably discussed around the dinner table with your friends. And it is the state of Black women, relationships, faith, family, all that stuff. And I wanted to talk about this provocative new book that's been released by the person next to me named Deborah Cooper. Deborah Cooper's book is called The Black Church, Where Women Pray and Men Pray. And the words pray are spelled differently each time. Women are praying and men are praying, P-R-E-Y.
Okay.
Can you hear us? Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Do you hear me, Dorothy?
All right.
I hear you, but she can't hear us.
She can't hear us, right. I just want to know if you can hear me, because you and I are hearing each other. But apparently she can't hear us.
I just hit your phone at 611. That's what I just did.
Okay,
that's
can anybody hear me?
We can hear you,
but you can't hear us. She keeps punching that mute button. See, if she would stop punching that mute button, maybe. Can you hear us now, Shira?
Okay, what about that?
Hello?
I don't hear anything.
Okay, you got technical difficulty.
Hi, Hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from yourblackworld.com, and I wanted to talk about something that a lot of you have probably discussed around the dinner table or with your friends, and it is the state of black women, relationships, faith, family, all that stuff. And I wanted to talk about this provocative new book that's been released by the person next to me named Deborah Cooper. Deborah Cooper's book is called The Black Church, Where Women Pray and Men Pray. And the words pray are spelled differently each time. Women are praying and men are praying, P-R-E-Y, according to the book. So without further ado, I want to give Deb a chance to talk about the book and tell us what it's all about. So first of all, Deb, I want to ask, how are you today?
I'm just great. A little early for me, you know, so I got my caffeine reinforcement right here.
Well, I know you're on West Coast time, so I appreciate you being a soldier and hopping up with me, because it's funny because I'm still on European time because I just got back from a trip to Europe. So literally I am waking up like 1 o'clock in the morning and doing a full day of work. So by the time the afternoon hits, it's like bedtime for me. It's freaking me out. I can't take it.
Oh, wow.
But
I guess it's good we caught you.
I know, right? But I'm really dying to hear about your book, because, you know, the title is very provocative. The book is, you know, as we talked about before, it's in keeping with this really great article that you wrote a couple of years ago called How the Black Church Keeps Women Single and Lonely. I want to say that's the title, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. And, you know, and that article got millions and millions of reads. You said that according to your estimate, it's broken the 3 million mark, which is huge.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've written a couple articles that have broke a million, but I don't think I've ever written anything that's got 3 million. So that's awesome. I applaud you for that.
Me either.
That's not easy to do. So Deb, tell us about your book and what point are you making with this book?
Well, the book is after that article that you're talking about came out, that was in June of 2010. It's called The Black Church, How Black Churches Keep African-American Women Single and Lonely. When that article hit, it caused, like, people just went crazy. But it was just an article. You know, there wasn't a lot of depth to it. And it actually raised more questions than it provided answers for a lot of people. So over the period of the following year and a half, I realized that there needed to be a deeper exploration. So I started preparing to write this book. Now, over the course of that, of course, there are a lot of cases that came out in the media and the news that showed different kinds of praying activity going on in black churches. So I addressed those as well. So not only do I talk in the book about black women being victimized and manipulated in ways that keep them single, I also delve into the sexual abuses of women and children and the financial abuses and the power abuses. So the book is very broad in scope. It basically was written to bring awareness to these things for people that are really, they go to church and they don't really pay too much attention to what's going on. And it provides insight and it dares the readers to challenge their belief system about religion and church. Now, I think it's very important that people understand. I am not, nowhere in this book am I telling people not to believe in God. Nowhere in this book am I saying don't believe in Jesus. I need to make that very clear because a lot of people make assumptions based on the title. All I'm talking about is people that take your belief in those entities and in religion and use it against you. And I'm going through step by step explaining how they do it, how the games are run, and setting out the wide variety of games that are used to do those kinds of acts against women and children.
So I think this is an important point. I mean, you're basically saying that you're not attacking the church. You're certainly not attacking women who go to church. You are simply saying, use your head. Don't allow the predators that might be in the church to take advantage of you. And I think that's a valid point because we know that there are predators in every church, right? You go to the Catholic church, you got the priest who molested the little boys, and it was a systemic thing. And one of the biggest challenges was that part of the reason that it was allowed to go on for so long is because people were afraid to question the church leadership about what they were doing. When you look at what happened, when you look at Eddie Long and really every week there's a scandal about some pastor doing some stuff he wasn't supposed to be doing, you find that much of this occurs because we don't question the church leadership and use our heads when it comes to deciding how we're going to conduct our faith. So let me ask you this. You know, did you in your own life, what are your experiences with the church that maybe led you to take this stand? Because you've taken some pretty bold stands when it comes to black women's relationship with the church. And I've even disagreed with you on quite a few things, but I respect you, which is why we're having this conversation. So what is it that has occurred in your experience that led you to feel so passionate about expressing this particular point of view?
Nothing. I mean, you know, people often come to that conclusion that, you know, that's the only reason that a person would have a criticism of an institution like the Black Church. And I admit that I believe that one of just few Black female voices taking such a stance. And when I wrote the article in 2010 that you covered, I got a lot of fearful emails from women saying, you know, who, how dare you? You know, I've never heard of a woman doing anything like that. Sister, you are brave. And, you know, there was a lot of that kind of statements going on. But I think I'm just the kind of person, Dr. Boyce, I really don't care who you are or what you represent or what your organization is about. If you're doing something wrong, and you have a set standard of behavior and performance that you're supposed to be adhering to, and you don't do it, just like any other business, you deserve to be criticized and you deserve to be examined. People should not, just because it's a church, automatically assume that everything going on there is perfect and wonderful and right. Just like any other business entity, which is all churches are a business, they have to be accountable for the services they provide and the money that they collect and the duties and obligations that they have to the members and the community. And I've been seeing a lot of excuses made in that regard, and I'm just calling them out on it. It's, you know, I don't have any personal vendetta. I mean, I'm not invested in it. There's no animosity against it. You know, some of my best friends go to church.
Like some of my best friends are black.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I want to ask you this, Deb. You know, black women, I saw a study recently that said black women are the most religious demographic in America, more religious than anybody else, you know, Asians, Hispanics, whites, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any theories on why that's the case? Why so many? Because I don't think I know a single black woman. I might know, let's say out of 50 black women I know, I might know four who don't go to church regularly. You know, and I will see, you know, many of my black female friends that will go to church and take notes as the pastor's talking and, you know, go to church several days a week. And especially when you go to the South, I mean, really. And it was interesting because, you know, when I was younger, when I was definitely determined to get married, I remember I would meet women who would just say, I can't marry you because you don't go to church the way I do.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting because I'd be like, wait a minute. You know, you got some people that are going to church every Sunday who are acting like damn heathens when they get out. I mean, you know, I might look at her and be like, well, wait a minute, you were at the club the night before and you went to church. But
exactly.
So in a way, it's very interesting because it's almost like it almost seems that I'm wondering if church is a place where we sort of almost like taking a bath, where you do what you do all week and you cleanse yourself on Sundays and then you start over again. Do you think that that's how some people see the church? Or and I guess I've really actually tailed my first question with a second question. So my first question would be, why do you think so many black women are religious? And do you think that maybe there's that our current state of affairs calls for a reexamination of how we see our faith and what it really means to connect to God? What are your thoughts on that? And feel free to not answer if you don't have any, you know, opinion.
Oh, no, I have, you know, that is something, because in the 2010 article, I referenced the study, the PEW study that found that, you know, that demographic was the most religious in the nation, which was really interesting and kind of disturbing, because if you have people that all follow a certain type of belief in a large number, which would be like 80% of, you know, black females in America, that means that they have what I call groupthink. And if you have everyone who's thinking a certain way and has a certain expectation, it makes it very easy to manipulate that group in very large numbers. Mm-hmm. And I go into great, this is the cover of the book. Let me see if I can show it. Right here. This is the cover of the book. And I go into great detail about how that is accomplished and how that is used against women. So again, I'm not saying don't be religious. I'm just trying to get people to understand there's a downside to everything. And going to church is putting yourself in an environment, you know, God is everywhere. If you really believe that God does not reside at Third Baptist or, you know, First Corner or whatever, he's everywhere. So going to church is not necessarily where you have to go to commune with God. Understand what's going on in that building and how it may hurt you. As far as the second part of your question, which I forgot because it was so long, what was the second part?
Well, I think I was asking if this calls for a reexamination of how we view faith, or maybe it just is what it is. You know, where you do have people that do things in church that, you know, that are incredibly problematic and unethical, but yet somehow they feel that it's okay to do that because they are grounded in scripture. They can quote Bible verses and they show up at church every Sunday. But, you know, they're out doing, you know, some people are doing some pretty horrible stuff.
Horrible. Yeah. Well, what I found is a favorite phrase, because, you know, when I'm jamming people up in this book, you know, and going through on a case by case basis. And what a lot of people objected to was, you know, you're not supposed to do things like that. You know, the Bible says, touch not that my anointed one. And I'm like, okay, you know what? These guys don't have diplomatic immunity from God. I mean, what are you talking about? And, you know, if you really, and what I've also found here is that a lot of people never read the Bible. So you got sisters toting around a Bible and, you know, quoting these scriptures. They never read those things for themselves, Dr. Boyce. It was shocking how many people, you got people in their 40s, they should have read the book cover to cover several times in over their lifetime. Not one time. So they're depending upon a pastor to read and interpret the words of the Bible for them. And I admit reading King James and, you know, all this stuff is very complicated kind of reading. It is very difficult to interpret the meaning of those words. But then get a Living Bible. I mean, know what you're supposed to know. Don't put that interpretation in the hands of someone else, because that is a setup for you to be manipulated based upon that person's belief system and what they want to get out of you. You can't always, just because someone's in the pulpit does not mean that that's the right kind of person. And we've seen so much evidence of that. I have this book is filled with stories of pastors and ministers that did things they really had no business doing. So I'm really trying to get the women to understand the games and then to go through the process of making these men accountable and vetting them before they really put too much trust and faith in them.
Well, you know, I stand with you on what you're doing with this, because I think that calling for greater accountability of men is very important. Some of the most heinous human beings I've ever met actually became pastors. And it really would stun me when this individual would have the power to control minds. And you would see where this man is using this power to get what we know that men tend to want to get, you know. and it was just absolutely fascinating to me. And so, I think that what you're saying here is, not to say that going to church is bad, or that all black churches are evil, or that religion is always a bad thing. It sounds like you're just saying, learn how to think for yourself. Don't let anybody, men or anyone else, tell you what to think. You need to think for yourself. And I agree with that 100%, because that's in line with something I always tell people, you know, because it's funny, because being a professor and doing what I do at Your Black World, I've noticed that sometimes I would get pastor-like power over people, where people would look at me. You know, like one woman actually said, there was a woman in Atlanta who follows, you know, the stuff that we do, and she was a big fan. Every now and then, you know, every now and then I bump into somebody who, you know, who knows me better than I know myself, and that's a little bit weird, but I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I remember she said to her friend, she said, well, you know, I don't believe that something is true unless Dr. Boyce says that it's true. And I stopped her right then. I said, no, you got to confirm that for yourself, because I could be playing you and manipulating you. Think for yourself. So I think that what you're saying is in line with that, and I agree. And so I want to ask you this as our final question before we bounce out of here. How can people go get your book, and how can they be a part of the ongoing conversation?
They can participate in going to the website set up for the book. It's Women Pray, Men Pray. You spelled, you know, P-R-A-Y for the women and P-R-E-Y for the men. .com. And you can find there's information on how to order the book as well as some testimonials from people that have already read it up there. Right now, the book is available on Lulu.com. We're going to be on Amazon as soon as they get their act together and put it up. I don't know what's taking so long. And BarnesandNoble.com. So it will be available in a lot of online retailers. You can also go into your local bookstore and just order it by title. They can find it for you. If you don't want to shop online, they can bring it into the store for you. So, yeah, and I think one thing I wanted to close out with this one thing that I think makes this book really different is, you know me, Dr. Boyce, I'm going to just go in and tell it. And one of the chapters is called The Pimp Game of Religion. And what I do is break down the 10-step process that pimps use to convert. No, I'm telling you, the 10-step process that pimps use to convert women into their stable, it is the same game that pastors use in church. Mm. And I spell it out in detail.
Well, I hear what you say, because I've seen a lot of pimps in the pulpit. But I also think that we need to be very clear that you're not talking about all pastors. My daddy's
just
pastor.
The ones that do. The right. ones that do these behaviors.
And they know who they are. They know who they are. And I can say, as a man who has seen a lot of backroom conversations amongst other men, there are scenarios where you get a sense that there are men who don't understand the responsibility that comes with having power. In fact, the scariest thing to me in the world is a pastor who has not really accomplished anything else in his life. So his source of power or his source of achievement comes from the fact that he's running a church. And the thing is that ultimately for young men, in many cases, you know, we have egos. We have, you know, we thirst to obtain power at a young age, especially when we're ambitious, because that's how you get women to like you. That's how you get men to respect you. So unfortunately, you know, in the church or in politics as well, I think that the best leaders, the best pastors, the best politicians tend to be people who've been able to get their ego filled by doing something else. Maybe you become CEO of a corporation, you made $1 million or whatever, and then your ego's out of the way, and then you're able to lead with conscientiousness and responsibility. And so, because I can tell you that the temptations to exploit your power are unbelievably strong for a lot of men, all men, myself. I've struggled with that in terms of finding ways to make sure that I remain ethically balanced, you know, because I'll see guys, you know, I'm telling you, when you get more power, you get, first of all, you have women throwing themselves at you sometimes, and you have people tempting you with money and work to sort of manipulate your thinking in ways that are just not good for the people that you're leading. So you have to be aware of it to move away from it. I think for a lot of these young guys who get the chance to head the church, they haven't necessarily gone through their process, and they end up doing things that get them in a lot of trouble later on and end up hurting people in the process. So I'm glad this book was written. I think people should check it out. I think also people should hear other points of view as well and hear from members of the Black church and pastors and others who can give them all the perspectives. So at the end of the day, you can make your own decision. So thank you very much for your
You are very welcome. Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, thank absolutely. And we're going to talk again, because we haven't talked for a while, so we got to talk more. We talk on Facebook all
the time. Yeah, we got to catch up.
Yeah. Anybody wants to see Deb going at it, go to my Facebook page. Deb is always in there. Fighting with somebody about something. But that's all right. I can't get mad.
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me, Miss Hattie?
I hear you, Dorothy.
Yeah, she can't hear us.
Yeah,
I can't be heard.
I hung up and called in on another number thinking maybe.
Yeah, I think she called it. Can you hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I can hear you.
Now you can hear
us. At first, we couldn't hear you. We've been on there the whole time, but you couldn't hear us.
The strangest thing, I mean, I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't even hear myself. That's weird. I don't know.
I did want to hear what you ladies had to say on those videos, but now it is time for us to close out. So we're going to have to pick back up on that because I just don't know what happened. I couldn't hear a thing.
Oh, it was a technical difficulty. But me and Miss Hattie could hear each other, but you could not.
Yep. She and I were talking, and
so I couldn't hear a thing. Oh, my goodness. Well, we will be back on Sunday night, same time, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern time. So tune in to the Lotus Place, and we will be here waiting to hear from you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you, Icy Hot. Thank you, Delta. Thank you for listening. And peace and good night.